Before we get into the sermon this morning, I want to make a plug about something that we're going to have coming up on Wednesday nights in October. So at 7 p.m. each Wednesday night of October, over in room number one, we're going to have a Bible class that is focused on marriage. So we'll be talking about important marriage topics, things like communication, conflict management, financial responsibility, sex, things like that. If you are married, you are welcome to come. If you're engaged, we'd encourage you to come. If you're just kind of interested in topics relating to marriage, you're encouraged to come. So this will be a great time of talking through different issues that pertain to our marriages. We all know that we could use help through study, through the encouragement of other couples, through just opportunities to pray over marriages. We could all use help in our marriages. So I want you to know about that. Also, there are flyers available. They're back there in the table in the foyer. Are flyers available? I would encourage you to take those and give those to some of your friends. Maybe this would be a good opportunity to get some of your friends that don't know the church, not very familiar with Jesus. Maybe this would be a good opportunity to get them acclimated with what goes on in church, talking about something that's very pertinent to all of us, it's marriage. So Wednesday nights in October, 7 p.m. in classroom number one. Flyers are available in the foyer. Okay, we're starting a new series today called Be Courageous. So the other day, I'm going to show you a picture. So the other day, this is a house that's two doors down from us. I kid you not, that was on their front door. It says, "Beware rattlesnake in the bushes." Obviously, this created quite a commotion to see this sign. A neighbor from the other direction came on over to the front yard. I was standing out there working on my mower, about to go mow the backyard, as a matter of fact. He said, "Did you see that sign on a person's door?" I said, "No." So I walked over there, and then Sarah went down and took a picture of it. So I got Sarah and I thinking about rattlesnakes being in our neighborhood. Now, I'm not a fan of snakes at all. It could be those little tiny snakes that you find in your backyard. Anything that has venom, whether it's a snake, a spider, any sort of animal that is poisonous, I am absolutely terrified of. And to know that this was in someone's front yard. Now, someone said, I thought this was pretty funny, maybe this was just a way to keep solicitors away from a friend of their house. It's a pretty good, cheap idea for that. But I was, like I told you, I was about to go mow the backyard. I hadn't mowed back there yet. I mean, we haven't had just a ton of rain. I know we're getting some recently, but the grass was still pretty high back there. So I went back there with a shovel, and every little sound that I thought for sure was a rattlesnake. So I'm just tiptoeing around. I didn't want to just start mowing because then I was afraid they might come out and just bite me. It would be all be over. So I'm just tiptoeing around back there, just waiting for a spider. The good news, or a snake, the good news is, no rattlesnakes yet. Very excited about it. So we dealt with scorpions. We dealt with rattlesnakes. I tell you that, though, because I was trying to work up as much courage as I could, literally just to go in the backyard to mow it. This snake had me terrified. So much so that I thought, I have a great excuse now not to mow the backyard. There's rattlesnakes back there. It's good. It's just we back up to a green belt, and so there's no doubt there were rattlesnakes in the backyard. So anyways, I was doing everything I could to work up the courage to go back there just to mow the grass. We think about courage in our own lives, and I have a question for you. And it's just a very simple question, but in what ways has fear kept you from doing the things that you know that God desires you to do? Maybe it's talking to someone about Jesus. Maybe it's having a renewed commitment to your spouse. Maybe it is interacting with that person at work that you know could use a good influence in their life. Maybe it's making that decision that you know that you need to make, even though you've been putting it off for so long. In so many ways, fear has a way of crippling us. Maybe it's not a rattlesnake in the backyard or the thought of a rattlesnake in the backyard, but maybe it's fear of rejection. Maybe it's fear of embarrassment. Some of us could probably think of past decisions that we've made. And unfortunately, as we think about the decisions that we've made in our lives, I'm afraid all too often, I know it's the case in my life, that the motivating factor in the decision that I made was actually not what's the right thing to do, what is the wise thing to do, but the motivating factor was fear. For so many of us, fear keeps us shackled. You know those old pirate-like shackles that you can kind of put your head in, your arms in? A lot of times, that's what fear does to us. It keeps us from doing the things that I believe God desires us to do. We're going to look at a story in Daniel chapter 3. It's a passage that, or a story that we probably all know very well. It's about three men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, if there's anybody that could have said, we're afraid, we are not going to do what we believe to be the right thing to do, it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Except for what we're going to see in the story that we're going to look at today is these three men looked fear, looked struggle, looked hurt, looked all of these negative things. They looked them all in their eye and just showed incredible courage. So Daniel chapter 3 is where we're going to be today. If you're new to church, new to the Bible, this is in the Old Testament. I even encourage you to maybe go to the table of contents, open that up, and look for Daniel in your Bible. It's right after the book of Ezekiel, sort of later in the Old Testament. The passage will also be on the screen this morning. Daniel chapter 3, let's get right into this story, starting with verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, and magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it, continuing on. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Now in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about some sort of statue. However, he's going to make the statue differently than what the vision of the statue was in his mind, in his dream. He's going to build this thing of all gold. Many scholars believe that the statue that he made was actually an image of himself. Archaeologists have found other large structures like this one in that world. And so this wasn't that uncommon. However, you notice it says that it's 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. So this is a very tall, sort of sleek structure. It may have been a structure that had an image of some of the area gods on it. That wouldn't have been out of the ordinary. It may have just been a structure of Nebuchadnezzar himself. But we're told it's made out of pure gold. King Nebuchadnezzar, we know, was very powerful, king of Babylon. Around 600 BC, Babylon, the Babylonians, went into Judah, Jerusalem, Israel, that area, and besieged those people in that place. When they did that, they took along with them many of the people back to Babylon. And so that's the setting for the story we're looking at today. King Nebuchadnezzar was feared throughout that world. He had a very strong army. He was ruthless in his dealings with foreign enemies. That's the guy that we're looking at today. He builds this image and he says, "Okay, everyone, when you're told to, when the music plays, you are to worship this image. You are to bow to it, essentially saying, you are to worship me. Let's continue on with the story. So some instruments, before we get back into the passage, the instruments play. And at the time of the instruments, all the people that were commanded to worship, begin to worship, except three men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego choose not to bow to this image, to this structure. There were some astrologers, some of our versions say Chaldeans, that were in that area that noticed that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow to the image. And so they go and tattle to the king and say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these Jews, these God-fearing people, have chosen not to worship. They have completely disobeyed you. So now continuing on the story, verse 13. Furious with rage upon hearing that news, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Okay, the thing I want to note about those verses there is how Nebuchadnezzar finishes up his threatening Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, now what God is going to save you from my hand? We've already talked about the power of Nebuchadnezzar. He had no problem putting people to death. He did it all the time. He did it about as regularly as we eat breakfast. I mean, that's Nebuchadnezzar for you. He was a rough dude. And so he says, what God's going to save you? So in doing that, he wasn't only challenging Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but he was also challenging the Lord Most High, Jehovah, God. That's the kind of audacity Nebuchadnezzar had. Let's continue with the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we were thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Let's continue on. Let's go with that verse back there. So, King Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, it's on, then. If you are not going to worship this image that I have set up, I want you to know, let's make this as clear as possible. What's in store for you is death in a blazing furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing toe-to-toe with a king who is ready to kill them, says, we have nothing to fear. The God that we worship can protect us, can deliver us, and he will rescue us from this fire. We will not worship you. Now, we know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they were Jews. They grew up with Torah. And so passages like what we're going to see on the screen are ones that they would have recited throughout their lifetimes. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 and 4. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth below or in the waters below. So this kind of teaching was in their DNA. And now when the rubber meets the road, when Nebuchadnezzar calls them out for blatantly disobeying the commandment that he has given the people, this is what comes out. And so what we see is at the heart of their courage is a deep trust and belief in God Almighty. They understood that God could save them. And so, yes, this is a story about the courage of three Jewish men. But I think even more than that, this is a story of God's power at work in three faithful people. Their courage was rooted in a deep sense of the power and majesty of God alone. They knew as long as they trusted in God, they had nothing to fear. Standing toe-to-toe with the king, absolutely nothing to fear. They understood that their mission was found in God alone. As long as they serve him, that was okay. Their identity was found in God alone. They are God's people. Their security was found in God alone. Bring on the furnace. Heat it up as hot as it can be. That's okay. We are God's people. Their courage was rooted in their understanding of who God is. As long as they worshiped him, feared him, trusted him, they had nothing to fear. Bring on a furnace. Let's continue with the story now. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw him into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. Continuing on. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. So they got what was coming to them. But see what happens. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Let's continue. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego displayed incredible courage. They were steadfast in their understanding that God could and would save them. And that's exactly what happened. So through their courageous acts, they found themselves in an incredible position for God to do amazing things through them. Think about this. The ruthless Nebuchadnezzar goes on and says, no other God can save in this way. Goes on and says, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's not complete faith or trust that Nebuchadnezzar is showing there. However, he has become aware of the power of Yahweh. Nebuchadnezzar is proclaiming the praises of God. So being courageous puts us in just this exact right spot for God to do incredible things through us. Imagine if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not have stood up to Nebuchadnezzar. Then Nebuchadnezzar would have never made that proclamation that he made. And so we have to start thinking about our own lives, right? I'm going to start off with this question. I want you to reflect on this question for a moment. If you were Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, first of all, you'd have just a fantastic name. I know all of us would love a name like that, right? But other than that, what would you have done? If you were in that position, if you knew that it surely meant imminent death if you defied the king's command, how would you have responded? What would you have done? Sometimes, maybe in my best moments, I'd say that I could have done what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. But a lot of times, I think I would have worked it. I would have kind of done it like this. I would have said, well, you know, it's my civic duty to honor this statue. And so I'll just kind of separate it. In my heart, God will be my Lord and I'll worship Him. But my civic duty calls for me to bow to this statue. So that's how I'll work this out. Or I know what I'm supposed to do, but common sense tells me just bow, and maybe while I'm bowing, I could tell someone about Jesus. Maybe I'll work it out that way. See, we can find all kinds of loopholes, I think. I think we can work out all different scenarios where it would be okay for us to do the exact opposite of what we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do. But what we see from these three faithful Jews, that in the face of death, they just demonstrated all kinds of courage. Could you have shown that kind of courage? And now I'll think about just in our everyday life. Talking about that person, or talking to that person about Jesus Christ. Can you show the kind of courage to do that? The courage to have a renewed sense of commitment for your spouse. Can you have that kind of courage? To stand up to those people who are slandering or bringing down the name of Jesus or others. Can you do that? When people are talking behind someone's back, do you just step right into the conversation and join in? Or do you say, no, that's not right? Can you display that kind of courage in your own life? What kind of trust do you have in God? So reflect on that question. What does courage look like in your life today? Now, as we work through this series, so over the next couple weeks, we'll get a little bit more specific about this. We'll talk about the courage to simply just make good choices. We'll talk about the courage to share your faith with others. We'll talk about the courage to endure hardship, endure difficult situations in our life. And hopefully, as we ponder this, as we think through this, we'll all be challenged to step out in faith with all kinds of courage, knowing that God is working through us. But as we leave today, I just want to leave you with one challenge, one urging, I guess, exhortation. And that is, do something courageous. You know how we always have in the back of our mind, at least I do, all the time, I want you to know, I've got all kinds of good intentions. Now, how many of those things actually turn into actions? Not as often. I'm not very proud of that, but I want you to know that. I'd imagine you're not much different than I am if you get real honest with yourself. But here's the thing. You know that thing that's just been bouncing around in your head, that thing that you've always just wanting to do, but you never do it? I want to challenge you this week to do that thing. To send that note, to send that text, to make that phone call, to reach out to that person, to have those folks over, to participate in what we've got going on Wednesday nights at the food pantry, to come to this marriage class that we've been talking about, that thing that's been bouncing around in your head, that thing, man, I really need to do that thing. If I get around to doing it, I'll do it. And I think, do that thing this week. That's my challenge for you, real simple. Show some courage. Okay. We're not all going to be in the position of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't think, anyways. We're not going to be standing toe-to-toe with the king of Babylon or any king of that matter. However, when we get right down to it, I believe every day of our life, we have an opportunity to choose courage or to choose fear. And hopefully over this next week, we will choose to live courageously. If there's anybody here this morning who maybe the case is that you haven't worked up the courage to come down here to the front to say that I am a believer in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Lord. He's the Son of God. I want to be baptized into Him. Maybe today is the day that you decide to do that. We would celebrate that decision that you'd make. Maybe you need the prayers of this assembly. We'd be so glad. We'd just be honored, really, to pray with you and for you. So if you have any needs, you can come forward now as we stand and sing this song.